Hello, and welcome to the Coronation Asset Management podcast series, where we discuss everything around wealth and investment management, identifying trends in financial markets, as well as topical themes. I'm Guy Czartoryski, Head of Research at Coronation Asset Management, and I will be your host steering these conversations. Today, I'm joined by Oluwasegun Akinwale, a senior portfolio manager at Coronation Asset Management. He has over 7 years of experience across economic research, investment management, fixed income trading, and equity research. Oluwasegun, good morning to you and welcome. How are you doing?
Thank you, Gay. Thanks for having me.
So today we're here to discuss our publication, Better Times in 2023. This is our core investment strategy outlook for the coming year. Oluwasegun, tell me a little bit about what you're looking for.
We had a very good rally in the fixed income market over towards the end of 2022. But the landscape is changing a bit over the first half of 2023. And this is basically driven by the fact that we're spending a lot of liquidity in the financial system. But most of that we expect it to impact the short end of the yield curve. That's a treasury bills, fixed deposit placement, basically. But on the longer end of the curve, it's going to be a different scenario. And this is being underpinned by the fact that we have an election that is upcoming. We're seeing sizable budget deficit going into 2023. So we believe this is going to impact the long end on the fixed income fund a bit differently from what we're going to see on the short end of the curve, basically.
You certainly put your finger on it there. We have an election coming up in just a few weeks' time. But let's take a step back and see how bad things were last year and how much better they could be this year. I recall from last year, for example, if we look across the world, the Standard & Poor's index, the S&P 500, was down 19%. The NASDAQ in the US was down 33%. Euro stocks were down 13%. And in the US, the Fed funds rate went up by 4 percentage points to 4.5%. It was a very tough year. Whereas in our market, the yields were actually quite good. Although, of course, fixed income yields did not actually beat inflation, but nevertheless, they actually improved. And our equity market went up by, I believe, 20%, or if you're going to be pedantic about it, 19.98%. So we actually had a relatively good year, but we still believe that things are going to be better going into next year. How should we break this down? Should we break it down perhaps by US dollar savers, what's in store for them, and maybe go on to narrow fixed income savers, what's in store for them, and then go on to the equity market and the prospects there?
I think we should just, let's deal with the foreign one, and then let's focus on the local development, which is the naira, fixed income and equities together.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about savers who want to save dollars this year. What's your advice? Where are the rates going? How should they position themselves, given that you're running a US dollar portfolio?
Okay, so basically, right, following the pickup in inflation that we saw last year, we saw the US Fed's increased rates materially, and just beyond the US Fed's, across the developed markets, we saw increase in the different fund rates or monetary policy rate last year. And given by the body language and also conversation with the Fed, members of the Fed, they are still inching towards increasing rates. They still think it still needs to remain high going into 2023. So for us, we think it's actually a good time for U.S. Savers to invest in short and end of the curve, basically. And given the fact that we've seen a lot of rally towards the end of last year, as a lot of people were expecting the fixed income yields to come down. But for someone who is willing to hold to maturity, I think most of those instruments are still looking pretty good, right? You can still buy any FGN or Nigerian denominated US denominated instruments. You can still buy them at a very good rate at current level. Across the corporates, FGN, they are looking pretty good. And just beyond that also, if you look across the emerging market, the rates are also looking good on a lot of sovereign USD instruments. But you have to take a lot of care here, right? Because a lot of countries are also experiencing, they're also looking moving to the level of a default, similar to what we've seen in Ghana, right? So you have to really talk to your advisors and make sure that you're making the right choice.
Thank you. It's very interesting to see how things improve for your US dollar savers over the period of a year. A few years ago, you could only get very low rates in USD. Now the rate's quite good. I saw recently that the federal government of Nigeria 2027 bond is yielding over 10%. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's pretty correct. I think he's seeing yield around 11.7% right now. It's looking pretty good.
And then, as you say, you want to steer clear of anyone who's going to default. And obviously, that's the problem with Ghana, for example. And that's the kind of thing where you have to assess the risk and not be too adventurous. Play where you're safe, right?
Yeah, valid, right? I mean, as much as you want the best rates, you also need to put the risk side by side. Is it worth it? Should you stay where you're comfortable, where you know that the risk of default is pretty low? Or do you want the best yield in the market and take the risk of very high default risks, similar to what we saw in Ghana, where yield rates are at 30%. A lot of people prefer that than what they were seeing in Nigeria at 13, 14%.
So take care and follow your lead, I guess, and buy what you know, and buy close to home, and you're more likely to be safe, correct?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, let's go on to Naira fixed income. And I think this is a subject that is very close to people's hearts. After all, we all have Naira, we all have Naira accounts, we all wish to save. But of course, for many years, I mean, since the beginning of 2020, it's been very difficult to beat inflation. But I think things are improving. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, towards the end of last year, following the squeezing we saw across the banking system, which resulted from the CBN largely sterilizing a lot of banking funds as well. So we saw yields across different tenors for fixed deposit placement. Even if you look at what you get for from tier one banks to tier two banks, it was quite high. What you're getting as high as 18, 19%, 16%, depending on the volume of amount you have in your possession to invest. I think I saw a bit of the breakdown in your report, which was quite exhaustive, trying to print the way the different deposit rate was in the market. So interestingly, it wasn't just on the fixed deposit placement side. We also saw treasury bills yields also jump during the period. So you could look at different treasury instruments, special bills, promissory notes, the one that is issued by the CBN directly. They all saw material jump over the second half of 2022. So yeah, it was a good year. A lot of Naira savers made a lot of money. The strategy was, if you had stayed short most part of 2022, you had opportunity to really capitalize on the higher yield we saw towards the end of the year, basically.
Right. And you run a fixed income fund in Naira. So what's the approximate yield on that fund now?
So you look at effective yield, which is about 11.8%. But year-to-date return, because we mark our funds to market, is about 4% so far. So basically just reflecting the movement in the market.
4% so far, but we're only 3 weeks into the year.
Yes.
Well, that's... sounds pretty good to me. Okay. And then you're thinking that rates might come down in the first part of the year, but then move up towards the end of the year. What's your thinking behind that?
Okay. So, I mean, coming into, I mentioned earlier, right, we have a lot of liquidity coming into the financial system over the first half of 2023. And most of these funds have to find their way into the fixed deposit placement or anywhere, or they get rolled over in the instrument they are maturing in, say, treasury bills. We're also expecting a lot of coupon to be paid on federal government bonds, except the defaults, which we do not expect them to do that. They can't do that. So basically, right, so we have a lot of those coupons coming in, and those coupons have to be invested somewhere. So you're going to see a lot of funds coming to the financial services, especially the banks, to have to use as fixed deposits. Some of them will be invested in treasury. So you're going to see a lot of demand in the system, which might not be met with the supply on the short end of the curve. Because given what we're looking at, we think there might be much of longer dated instrument being issued from the bond auction calendar is so far. So we think they're going to go a lot longer than the short end of the curve. They might just maintain the short end of the curve the way it is, roll over what is maturing, don't take additional funds. So because of that demand compared to the paper issuance, they're likely to see rates depressed for most of first half of the year. Like I mentioned, it's going to be a different scenario on the long end of the curve. That's for the bonds, and basically because of the election issues and also the higher borrowing plans of the federal government as dictated by the by the budget deficit that we have.
But of course, a lot of people want to save in money market funds, and it's a hot selling fund, and it's the largest segment of the fund management section. So what's the yield on your money market fund now?
Okay, so we're currently within 13.31% on our effective yield, and we're still able to achieve that despite the decline we've seen so far in the market, because, I mean, late last year, we knew the market is going to go down. So we position appropriately to ensure that we manage funds appropriately. I mean, we want our clients going into 2023 to look at their portfolio and they're still happy irrespective of what is happening in the environment. So yeah, at 13.31% on your 5 million, 10 million, 2 million, 1 million, it's actually an attractive return. And interestingly, we also recently got our rating for the money market fund, and Augusto basically affirmed our investment grade rating at A+, which is quite impressive for us, and we're quite happy about that. So yeah, saving in an asset that is yielding as high as 13%, safe, regulated by SEC, and you don't have to worry so much about losing your funds, given the case that we are well rated and is well managed by Coronation Asset Management.
Thank you very much. So we're starting the year with quite good rates. We might get slightly lower rates as we go into April, May. That would be the base case. And then those rates would pick up as the year goes on after May. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, so from May, but I think we should be more hopeful, say, between June, July. Let us say strictly July, because most of the funds, we have a lot in March, April. So they might still be in the system, right? Some way into May, June. So by end of June and starting July, they should have fully been utilized and out of the system.
So you would advise savers to put their funds into a fund quite quickly, not wait until March or April, mm-hmm. or even May, because the opportunities won't be there until later on in the year.
Yes, it's a good time to lock on whatever you have right now on the short end of the curve.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, I'm going to change the subject now and go on to the equity market. It's been a very strange period the last 3 years in the equity market. We've had positive returns in each year. That hasn't happened for a long time. We even had a 50% return in 2020. We had a positive return in 2021. And as I said earlier, we had a 20% return in 2022. And not only that, of course, but if you add the dividend effect, the return was actually more like 25%. What's your thought about the equity market for this year?
Okay. For us, right, we look at it fundamentally and also look at the factors that are driving the market as a whole. How we're seeing movements by fund managers between equities and also the fixed income space, right? On our base case, right, we think the market is going to be slightly play different this year. And this will be because of what I mentioned around people positioning ahead, staying short because of what they're expecting to happen in the fixed income space. But the interesting thing is that if you look at stocks last year, a lot of them were depressed. So you're seeing GT, our current prices, expected dividend yield is as high as we are looking at about 13-14% dividend yield for the like of GT. 11.54% for GT. Then for Zenith, you're looking at the same level, right? So a lot of people will be comfortable looking at, say, oh, I'm buying a UBA at 12.4 dividend yield expectation. I'm buying a Zenith at 12.3 dividend yield expectation. So basically, people are looking at, okay, this, given where rates are currently on the short end of the curve, this might compare favorably, right? And then it's avoid. I get to avoid the mark-to-market risk that is going to come from me going long on the of the curve right now. So basically, right, we see the equities market, the fundamentally sound names, the defensive stock, the consumer goods names, and also the telecom names. We see them performing pretty well this year. I think a lot of care needs to be taken around the consumer goods names. We expect a lot of performance there, a good performance there, but selection of stock is going to be very important, and this is where you need to consult your fund manager and also investment manager to give a proper advice on that sector. For the industrial goods sector, we're quite positive, given the news over additional share buyback by Dangote Cement. So we think that will also support some rally within that space. So basically, right, we think the first half of the year or the first quarter of the year, let's just put it together, the first half of the year will be similar to what we had in 2022. We're going to see a lot of rally in the market. And then depending on who wins the election, right, we could actually see some positive sentiment in the equities market depending on the election result. I mean, so it's just basically going to be an interesting year for the equities. A lot to watch out for. You need a lot of consultation in this process to be able to deliver. deliver good returns. And what we try to tell people is that you need a sizable amount, right, to have somebody to advise you, but you could invest in something like a balanced fund that is managed by a proper fund manager, so you don't have to worry so much about the analysis yourself.
Yes, and I think we did a little bit of a study ourselves on this, and we found out that if you look at the potential earnings upside for the top 10 stocks on the index in 2023, it's 18% earnings growth. And of course, the market was up 20% last year, so the market doesn't look a lot more expensive than it did 1 year ago, which I think is encouraging. Well, we touched on the elections there, and I don't think we can conclude this without talking about the elections, although, of course, they're very contentious. However, we have done a study of the elections, and it's worth pointing out what happened in 2015 and 2019. In 2015, as I recall, what happened was that it was a sort of an interesting election, to say the least. Well, you touched upon elections there, and of course, we do have to discuss that. They're due in about a month's time, and we can look back at the study we've done of 2015 elections and 2019 elections and how they affected our markets. So, let me present the 2015 election. The 2015 election was pretty interesting. There was a contested election. An incumbent was going to, as it turned out, be challenged by the incoming president, Muhammad Buhari. And the market was nervous about that. The equity market actually fell in the first part of the year, traded down until February, and T-bill yields shot up. They shot up just really at the time of the election. However, there was then a peaceful transfer of power. T-bill yields went down, so Treasury bills yielded a bit less and came down in yield very gently for a few months. And the equity market rebounded a great deal, gaining about 20% in the months after the election. So that was 2015. The 2019 election was completely different. The equity market was actually generally rising a little bit ahead of the election, and the T-bill market was more or less flat, with yields at around 17.5% in the months leading up to the poll. Then what happened was quite extraordinary. The CBN cut rates in March, but the market anticipated that, and T-bill rates crashed at the time of the election, or just after the election, and the equity market then began to fall for 7 months afterwards. So what's the lesson there? I guess it is that the CBN could have an equally strong influence on the markets at the time of the election as the incoming government, and the government itself could have an effect on what the markets do. So what could be the outcome?
Okay. We have the MPC meeting starting, I think, next week. That could be their last decision before the election, right? So we see what they do there and how that is going to actually trickle down into the election. But basically, I think we're likely to see a repeat of what happened before. Given what we've seen, the rally we've seen in the equities market so far, we're seeing higher yields in the fixed income space. So I can say towards the election, from now to the election, we are going to see your charts kind of depict, is it 2015, where we saw both we're going to see similar to 2015 and 2019, where we saw an increase in the equities market, especially that's mostly 2015, right? So we're going to see the equities market continue to rally onto the election, but the fixed income yield are going to continue to jump up, meaning that prices are going to go down on that end, right? But post the election, right, is all going to be determined how the market plays out by the monetary policy and fiscal policy expectation of the incoming president. So once we see the election result, I'm giving people's expectation of the different candidate, and you're likely to see the market react to what people expect of them, basically.
So the election could have a huge effect on investors. It could have a huge effect on the way interest rates go. However, the base case seems to be that we're looking for a much better 2023 than 2022, both in global markets and in terms of where savings rates can go from here. And we could have a repeat performance, a positive performance in the equity market. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Like you said, I agree with you fully on that, but it all would boil down to who becomes our next president.
Great. Oliver Shagan Akinwale, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Guy, for having me. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you for listening. It has been a pleasure having you share this time with us. Do well to look out for the next episode and share the Coronation Asset Management podcast across your network. You can also connect with us at coronation.ng for more insights. Until next time.